Hi, everyone. So let me share to you one important thing that I hope every teacher could take advantage of. I've been working with Marshall Cavendish Education, and with the rise in online learning, on the go, and at the convenience of the learner, Marshall Cavendish Education partnered with Nanyang Technological University of Singapore, NTU, to provide bite-sized online learning courses for the educators to continue their professional development. The learning platform MC EduHub for educators comprises of short online courses offered by NTU that are designed to build specific skill sets for the modern day educator. The first course, Designing Effective Online Lessons, which will be certified by NTU, addresses the urgent need to help educators design effective online learning lessons for their students. In the coming months, more related courses will be revealed on MC EduHub for educators. Register for an account on MC EduHub now, and if you will click on the description of this episode, you'll be able to see the Google form where you will be able to sign up for your account. And of course, you will see a few courses that I'll be making for online learning, and I hope that you'll be able to take advantage of those courses that I've designed in collaboration with Marshall Cavendish Education and their partner Nanyang Technological University in Singapore. So thank you. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empowered Podcast Season 7. And today we are very much happy and honored to welcome one of the many people that I know who are spending so many sleepless nights trying to guide and help her school community in surviving in this time of the pandemic. She's no other than Steph Barredo, and she's the head of remote learning and the head of primary school coordinators of Key School Manila. So I've known Steph through, of course, our little edtech community in the Philippines, and she has been also leading her school in meaningful and relevant integration of technology tools, especially right now because she heads the remote learning program of Key Schools Manila. All right, so Steph, how are you?
Hi, Jim. I'm good. Thank you for having me today. I'm excited.
So it's our holiday right now, but yes, we're trying to record. This will come out on June, so we know that Steph and I are spending our time, our holiday, recording this. I'm very interested because Steph has been taking a curriculum leadership role in their school, right? And even before the pandemic, Steph actually belongs to a school that we could describe as a very progressive school. So the curriculum itself, their curriculum sets them apart from, you know, the mainstream regular curriculum here in the Philippines. So Steph, because you have that kind of role before and right now during the pandemic, what adjustments have you done with your school's curriculum?
Right. So yeah, that's a very interesting question. When we found out that we were going into a remote learning school year, of course, a lot of questions, right, were coming into play, like how are we going to start it out and all of that. But we always had to be looking back at really what our pedagogy is as a school. I think that's very important. We look back also into, you know, what really our core values are. And more importantly, now looking talaga into the opportunities and limitations of this new mode of learning, right? Because everyone is, you know, a beginner at this stage. So we needed to pivot quickly, but at the same time, thread slowly to be able to bring out a remote learning program that is progressive in nature. So we knew right away that we wanted to still have the elements of progressivism in our online learning classrooms. It has to be inquiry driven. It has to be collaborative. And more than anything, since we also have kids who have special needs, we wanted to be able to plan for the individual needs, right, of our students. So that was a lot of the conversations happening in the beginning of our school year. KEES has always adapted a standards-based curriculum. So technically, it was easy for us to figure out what to teach, right? But definitely, it wasn't 100% easy because we also had to, you know, spend time really sifting through all the content areas and identifying really what the essential understandings are and what core competencies are needed for each subject. Because honestly, in this online learning platform, you can't teach everything. So we agreed that we just have to focus on the core competencies and what we really want learning to be like. So we always had to keep that question in mind, like overall, like how do we want our students to learn? And then we develop our curriculum around that. We also looked into what do we want our students to be able to do? And more than anything, we also focused on the idea of in this pandemic school year, we wanted to put emphasis on how the students are feeling, because definitely the feelings of the kids and what, you know, their personal experiences are has an impact in their overall education. So that was one adjustment, focusing on well-being and essential understandings. Another thing is, we are a small school, so we really had to build and curate our digital resources. This is something that we didn't have from the get-go. And a lot of the time our faculty spent is really in creating these resources, whether it's interactive workbooks, you know, articles, video presentations, animations, and all of that. So our faculty really had to, you know, exhaust their creative juices in being able to develop these types of resources for the kids. Because as we all know, sometimes with children, when you teach them, you always have to put something exciting daily. It can't just all be repetitive, right? So that was, I think, the biggest thing that we had to adjust, like turning our face-to-face resources into innovating it for the online learning platform. We also needed to understand that the home is now the school, and definitely the kids have to be able to self-regulate more and be able to be more independent in their work, right? And we knew that we had to reevaluate the types of tasks that we were giving to the children, and definitely the ability level of the kids, because if they can't do things independently, they'll have to run to their mom and dad or a sibling or a yaya to help them out. And we also understood that we can't also just always rely on the parents, because parents are also so busy, right, with their jobs and all of that. So we had to ensure that whatever task was being given to the children, that that the level of it was just right for them. Nothing too challenging, but also nothing too easy. Assessments was a very critical conversation. And I'm sure like a lot of educators are still wondering how assessments can be done in this online learning setup. But that was a hard conversation we had to do as a faculty, because we also understood that maybe tested assessment methods that we were doing doesn't fit the online platform. And of course, there's also underlying questions like, is my child, you know, is the child doing it on his own, or are they actually, you know, copying answers from Google and all of that? So there are a lot of elements when it comes to assessment. So at least for the lower grades, which is grades 1 to grade 6, we really veered away from paper and pencil types of assessments and just really focused on, you know, authentic types of summatives like performance tasks. We were high on that this year. We focused on end of unit projects, and we integrated oral assessment, which I got really good feedback from the students and the teachers too. So we were thinking as well that even post-pandemic, when we can finally go back into our classrooms, that we really might veer away from the traditional types of assessments. But don't get me wrong, the testing is still in play, especially for the older grade levels. But, you know, these are just, you know, some things that we are figuring out as we go along too.
But it's pretty clear, Steph, that there were a lot of things considered. From your sharing, it's not just, you know, the curriculum, what to teach or how to teach them, how to assess, but you also focused on the well-being of the students and even empowering the students themselves and even their, you know, the role of parents in the learning. You're very correct. The home is the heart of learning right now. It's where most, or if not all, learning, the process of learning is happening. Because of this tremendous, you know, adjustment, I think I can relate with you in the sense that, you know, these things have happened or were done in a short period of time. So given that, given the rapid, you know, the rapid transition and the workload, what were the challenges? Like as a curriculum leader, as a leader in your school, what were the major challenges as, you know, you bring together the whole school towards this new perspective of remote learning?
Right. So I would like to say time, I think, was our biggest challenge this school year. Time planning the remote learning program and time in executing the remote learning program. It's always the biggest challenge because we knew also that the class days, you know, not as long as a face-to-face time. So, and we knew that there was really less time to be spent in learning. So we really needed to distill and evaluate, you know, what was going into our synchronous classes. More than anything, we also had to look from the perspective of everyone because everyone's juggling through so many struggles, right? Like us as individuals, we also have our own, you know, to-dos as a family member and all of that. So we needed to find ways on how to help our faculty deal with working from home because it's an entirely new setup for them as well. And so because we also knew that they had to prioritize families and health more than anything. So that was one challenge, like how to get everyone on board with the remote learning program, but at the same time, you know, balancing their work life and their personal lives all together. So we also thought about the kids as well. And in terms of their tasks, like, is it engaging, you know, is it too much work that they're doing for asynchronous tasks? Because we were also a school who wasn't so keen on giving out homework. Like in our face-to-face program, kids only received homework once a week and they submitted at the end of the week, right? And when it comes to asynchronous tasks, it made it seem like they're doing something daily, which was a struggle for the kids as well. So that's something that has to be reevaluated also for next year. I think a challenge for every teacher in terms of this year is more on how do you promote student engagement and motivation, right? Especially as they go up to secondary school. So we knew that it's a very tricky thing. You know, automatically they can turn off their Zoom camera and you won't know anymore if they were listening to you or not, right? So there were just many, many variables to consider when it comes to participation. So we had to really think about how do you start promoting engagement. It's not really about content, but it's really more about, do you have a personal relationship with these kids? And do you actually spend time getting to know them individually and putting that into your day-to-day practice? Because we understood that if there's a high level of trust in the classroom, then, you know, students will be more open, you know, to share and be more open to give feedback and, you know, participate and all of that. So I did mention that the challenge was also well-being, not just for the students, but also the teachers. I do know that Tintin joined you in one of your episodes and she's our life coach. So I'm very grateful to have her as part of our community because everyone did go through, you know, difficulty this year. So we knew that everyone adjusted differently, whether you're a teacher or a student. So we also had to individualize our approach for each and everyone, which I think was a challenge as a school leader. Like, how do you make everyone happy more than anything, right? So I think that's the biggest challenge too, like getting everyone on board, but at the same time, being able to balance, you know, their frustrations, being able to balance what we can do for them and all of that.
I love the way you recognize the challenges, especially with onboarding of teachers, not just teachers, of the whole school community. When we started the remote learning, I'm pretty sure you have your own share of teachers, even administrators, and even students and parents who would say, you know, let's pause for a while, let's not continue. But then as educators, we know that behind that question or behind that in our mind, we cannot have that, you know, as a sustained, it's not a sustainable response to what we have right now. And I'm very happy that you mentioned about, you know, the idea that we all have our own share of frustration, disappointments, and even as we try to make everyone happy, not everyone will be happy right now. I'm pretty sure, Steph, you are very, you're doing your work, but at some point you find yourself not happy also, but we continue with our work, right? I love that idea. And we also mentioned about, you know, helping teachers with balancing things. Basically everyone, like even students, like you mentioned, the idea of homework and asynchronous. Some of our students are basically like, I thought we don't have homework. Why do we have homework right now? And, you know, we just needed to explain. Even I think with all the sharings that you have right now, it's important that we bring out the idea of mindset, right? I think that was the first for other schools to really jump immediately to the idea of remote learning. Let's push this. Everything we're just being pushed, shoved to everyone. Because there was no more choice, really, right? But then I think the crucial thing that should or could have been given is for everyone to really sit down and, you know, understand these things. Mindsets don't change overnight, right?
Agree.
it's a conversation, right? It's a transformation, it's a change, and you don't expect things to be quick. So I'm happy that, like you mentioned, Tin was here when the pandemic has started. Even right now, we're trying to make sense still of the pandemic. And she has shared a lot of the things that you have been doing in Keys School. So I'm very happy and congratulations on your amazing work.
Well, I couldn't have done it I could have done it on my own. You know that I reach out to you also if I need to, you know, clarify some things. That's why I love our community. Like, we're just so helpful with one another. I agree with you that mindset really comes into play in this whole pandemic year. I think what helped me also in the beginning was, apart from quickly trying to implement a program, I really needed to, you know, manage my expectations and really see this year as a learning opportunity and understand that there will really be setbacks because it's a brand new program, right? There will be a lot of challenges, but I wanted to think about these challenges as my motivation to strive better. That's always the mindset that I have, and I hope that I'm able to echo that to my community at Key. So being able to just continue to learn, don't be afraid to make mistakes, seek help when needed, you know, celebrate small wins, see your failures as an opportunity to learn. And honestly, just take it one step at a time. Everyone's going through this. No one's perfect at it. And we can still get better, I mean, at it. Next year will most likely be another online learning school year. So you just reflect on your practices as a school, as a leader this year, and think about how you can refine them, right, for next year.
Lovely words. I love your words. My next question should be, what were your takeaways?
Okay.
But given your answers, I think those are very inspiring takeaways that you have.
Yeah.
One thing.
Go.
Like, if you were, you know, I know that we are learning a lot. And this time, the pandemic really is reminding us that, you know, every one of us is a learner. We should not stop learning, because if these things happen, it will be difficult for us to, you know, adapt to these changes. So if there's one thing that you've learned, a very, very important lesson that you've learned as, you know, as an educator, as a school leader also, what is that thing?
I think that you can't do it alone, and how you, it really takes a village to make the program work. The village can be internal, you know, you working with your colleagues, your directors, your board, or you can also reach out to your other circles of educators. Like, I'm loving the community of Apple consultants. I think we're getting bits and pieces of, you know, advice from one another. So I learned that the hard way, that you can't do a program on your own. And that came with frustration at the beginning, but I realized the impact it can make if you do work as a community. So community feedback is also very important. Like in KEYS, we did very timely surveys for parents, and we also involved the students to give regular feedback, and then we changed our practices based on that. Like I remember in our first semester, the kids said, like, there's just too much asynchronous work for grades 4 and up. So I really had to pause and, you know, talk to my coordinators and say, guys, this direct feedback from the kids already, we have to do something about it. So always have that open mind of feedbacking, that it's all, don't think about it negatively, but think about it as an opportunity to learn. But definitely work with one another, right? And collaborate as much as you can for the betterment of the program.
Yeah, perfect answer, Steph. I love it because, you know, the topic of our episode really is about curriculum. And, you know, I think the we know that we've reduced all the curriculum, all the things that we want to teach. But I love the way you ended our conversation with your major takeaway, which is, you know, you have to have the community, that sense of collaboration. And I love that you've been emphasizing also the role, the feedback of the students. I think for us, you know, we have reduced the curriculum. We're very much happy. We're very much ready. But when you implement the whole thing, right, that's the ultimate test. And one thing that I've really picked up from what you're sharing is you have to have that community to work with you, your fellow coordinators, the teachers, and even the students, and to really bring in their feedback as essential data in how you would further improve. I've talked with a lot of schools. I've been helping different schools also, and I do remember that the first set of guidelines, policies that have been crafted before the start of the school year, it's like, you know, they kept on updating those things, like every month of every term, because everyone was just simply open to the feedback that we're getting from the whole school community. And that was, I think, a wonderful process of learning itself.
Yeah, definitely. You think you'll know it before you start rolling it out. And once you're there, it's like, oh, why did I even think about it in the first place, right? So yeah, always reflect on what you're doing and be adaptable and flexible in the different things that you're rolling out as a school. Yeah.
Right. Thank you, Steph. And when we release this episode, Steph and her school should have already been done with a conference that they have. So congratulations, Steph, and the whole Key School of Manila for the upcoming conference that you will be leading.
Thank you. And you're joining us there too. So thank you for saying yes.
We are one small community of EdTech here in the country, and it's always a pleasure. It's always an honor to really help and collaborate with one another. So thank you, Steph. So there, we're done with our episode on curriculum. And there were a lot of insights that really came from Steph. And we're very much grateful for her presence here. So thank you, Steph. Thank you, everyone. And continue to stay safe and healthy. Bye-bye. Bye, Steph.
Bye.